story so far. So basically, the key issues that we've highlighted in this topic are the general question of what the Isra Malach on Shabbos is. And we essentially suggested kind of a compromise position between the different achronim that perhaps the Isra Malach on Shabbos is all about the individual. You should be at rest. You shouldn't do malacha. But what is a malacha? A malacha is defined as something which affects the world, which makes a change in the world. And that's probably relevant to the issue within Hotzah, that Hotzah, there seems to be an instinctive feeling that there's something lacking in Hotzah. And as the Urza Ruah articulates it, the fact that the object doesn't change, Meikara Chayfetz, Vahashta Chayfetz, that's probably connected to it. Even though other Rishonim point to something else, we thought that maybe it could all be subsets of that idea, starting from the fact that you already perceive that Hotzah is different in that way. It doesn't have an impact on the world the way the other Malachas do. We noted that Havara, which it's funny that the Gemara actually has a suffix whether Havara should be treated like the other Malachas, but in practice it certainly is, and Havara is kind of the opposite. Starting a fire is a clear, obvious change in the world. And Hotzah is not really perceived as a change in the world, and that's a clear difference. It's interesting, just while we're talking about that, I just want to mention a halacha lemaisa point that was suggested by Rav Asher Weiss in a different topic, but it illustrates this point, that there is in general a whole discussion about how electricity is perceived in halacha today. What exactly is the isser of electricity? Is electricity an isser d'oraisa? Is it an isser d'rabbanan? What type of isser d'oraisa is it? So Rav Asher Weiss, in discussing this, has a unique position. It's not the position that other posts can have, but it's just interesting in terms of how it reflects on this point. He assumes that it's an isser d'oraisa. He assumes that the usage of electricity is an Isser Daraisa, again against other poskim. And the basis for this Isser, he says, is Makke B'Patish. Now, that's not so unique. There are other poskim who say that it's Makke B'Patish also. But the way he understands Makke B'Patish and the way he explains it is relevant here. Because he noted that there's a Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says that Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish spent a year and a half learning all the Malachas of Shabbos. And they came up with 39 toldos for every av. They had all the different categories, and they had all the subsets of the categories. So anything that they couldn't figure out what category it should go in, they put under Makke B'Patish. So you could ask, what does that mean? If you can't figure out where it goes, you put under Makke B'Patish. If you can't figure out where it goes, it's mutter. If it doesn't fit any one of the 39 malachas of Shabbos, so it should be mutter. So what do you mean you don't know where it goes? So it seems to be, from that Yerushalmi, that there is a perception of what a malacha should be. And that if we can't figure out which one of the categories it is, then it's a catch-all category of Makke B'Patish. And the assumption is that if something is a tikkun, if something makes a change in the world, something clearly has an effect, then presumably it's a malacha. And then we'll assume it's going to be one of the malachas that we have listed, and if it doesn't fit, so then we'll say it's Makke B'Patish. So in that context, with that background, Rav Asher Weiss said he thinks that electricity, the usage of electricity, is an Isser D'oraisa, because when you're clearly accomplishing something, you're clearly making a change in the world, so then that's got to be a malacha. If it doesn't fit any of the other 38, then it's Makke B'Patish. So again, it's a controversial position, not everyone agrees with it, but it just illustrates the flip side of how we're seeing Hotzah, that if there's a lack of impact, we perceive that as missing something, and so to the flip side, that maybe even if there is an impact, we can't figure out which category it fits in, that itself defines a malacha. And that, by the way, is also relevant here, when we noted that in the seventh parak, when the Mishnah lists Hotzah at the end, it gives more significance, if you understand Makke B'Patish that way, that Makke B'Patish really should have been the end of the list. So the idea that Hotzah is at the end of the list, after Makke B'Patish, also emphasizes that maybe there's something strange about it, that it's set aside from the other malachas, and it's not just that something has to be last, because there's a stronger svara for something else to be last. So the fact that Hotzah starts in the Sefta, but on that list is at the end, maybe has some significance to take note of. Okay, but in any event, the key point that we want to discuss today is what we noted last time, that there is a machlokas between, or maybe it's a machlokas, depending on how much emphasis you want to put on it, but there are different perspectives within, on the one hand, Tosfos, and on the other hand, the Ramban and the Rashba, as to what else is unique about Hotzah. What's the problem? Why do they all have this expression, or some of them use the expression, some of them use other words, but why do we have this notion that Hotzah, Melacha Geruah, that there's something lacking in it? What's bothering us? So what does Tosfos focus on? The fact that we have this Isser of Rishus to Rishus. So what's the difference going from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabin? That's Usser, and Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaYachid is not. What's the difference? Why should you say one way or another? That's what bothers Tosfos. And the Ramban and the Rashba focus on what we call the Schlep factor. Right? That here, you can't move a couch. You can move a couch from one corner of the room to the other. That's not going to be a Malacha. And if you're going to take a piece of paper from inside to outside, that'll be a Malacha. Doesn't seem to make any sense. And we mentioned that many Achronim, there's a whole slew of Svarim that approach this issue in the same way, that they felt there is a fundamental debate here between Tosfos and the Ramban Rashba as to what is the issue to begin with. What's the whole nature of Hotzah? Because they seem to have a predisposition as to what the issue is, so that they focus on details within that. So apparently Tosfos believes that the Isser is changing the Rishus of something, taking it from one Rishus to the next. And that's why they're just bothered, why should it make a difference whether it's inside to outside or inside to a different inside? While the Ramban and the Rashba, they seem to believe that the Isser is schlepping. So if the Isser is schlepping, so how come inside, no matter how much you schlep, is okay? And outside, you schlep a tiny bit, that's a problem. And that the Rashba and the Ramban have support from Sukkim and Nach, which talk about a masoi on Shabbos, about nesias masoi, about carrying a burden, that's apparently a problem. So where does that come from? That seems to perhaps refer to Hotzah. That's an Isser of schleppage. So that was the understanding that a lot of Achronim had towards this. And we noted a little bit further that the significance is that after you account for these differences, after you say, okay, we have psukim that tell us that this is Asur anyway, even though it's all hard to understand, there is a difference between Tosfos and the Ramban and the Rashba, that if you say a malach is about changing something, so Tosfos tells us you are changing something. You're changing the Rishus, you're changing the location. You would not have thought that significant. You wouldn't have realized to make a big deal about that. The Chiddush is, yes, to make a big deal about it. So that's the Chiddush of Malach and Geruah. You wouldn't have thought that it matters where it is, but it does, that's considered to be a change. But according to the Schlep Svar, the Ramban and the Rashba, even after we accept that this is Asur, that's a fundamentally different kind of Isser than we have in the rest of Shabbos. We've always maintained, so we tell our non-Jewish neighbors when they can't figure out, oh, we can't turn on a light, but we walk an hour and a half to shul, that it's not about exertion, it's about creative labor. So in that sense, if you say that it's about schlepping, so really Hotzah is fundamentally different than all the other malachas. It's not about creative labor, it is more about schlepping. And in that sense, it's distinct. It's an additional track that we have in Hilchos Shabbos. So that's the short 5-minute recap of much of what we spoke about, just to get us to this point. Everyone so far on the same page, how you doing?
Does the Orzer not make an assumption also that, I mean, it's not much of an assumption relative to what we consider, but that on Shabbos, what is Malacha is that we're creating something. Is that not also an assumption, you know, that we're talking about Tosfos and the Rashba?
Yeah, no, that's definitely a Chiddush. It just happens to be it's more familiar to us because that's the assumption that we tend to have from our earliest years. That's the way that we tend to perceive Shabbos, especially when the question always comes up, if we're so worried about resting, how come we'll walk up 10 flights of stairs instead of using the elevator? Why is that okay? And flipping the button on the elevator, is that okay? So we've had from our earliest years this notion that what work on Shabbos, labor, however you want to translate it into English, does not mean what the rest of the world thinks it means. And it's interesting, this Orzaruah, you know, we kind of take this for granted, I think. But you find this in the writings of Rosh Hashanah Fal Hirsch and others like that who comment on the Chumash. They find it in more Hashkafic-oriented Svarim. But the idea that it's actually expressed in the Gemara through Rishon and the Orzaruah is really the one who's giving voice to that in a Gemara kind of context. So we kind of take it for granted, but it is a Chiddush. But when you look at the whole pattern, it seems to come out to something like that. Hi.
So how does Tosfos understand this with the Yerushalmi, with the Rishon LeKish of Yochanan, which seems to imply more about being impacting or affecting the world than a creative something? Where
yeah, I think that's true. And I think Tosfos, actually, if you say like this interpretation of Tosfos, so they're working with that understanding, but the Chiddush is that location is part of its definition.
Oh.
And that's also called changing. Rav Asher Weiss, when he discusses this, that he mentions that, just to give a little bit of a comparison, although it's imprecise for reasons that he explains, but it just helps us to understand it a little bit, we know that the laws of Genev and Gezela, that if you steal something, you have to give it back, but if you change it, then it becomes yours and you have to pay the value of the object. So what's considered to be a shinui? So one of the shinuyim is called shinui rishus. You move it into a different place. So moving it to a different place, part of the understanding there is that it seems to have a different identity in a different place. But that's a part of its identity. Being somewhere else is part of its mahos. It's part of what describes it. So you wouldn't necessarily have thought it's so significant, but the chiddush is malacha geruah. It's a different kind of change than you find by other malachas, but it's a change. While the schlep factor is really working in a different category, saying that this is really a different track. This is a malacha that's not about changing. It's a malacha that's about exerting yourself. And therefore, it's a little bit interesting that we have such a disparity. So apparently, you have to take it a little bit further, and you have to say that there's a line where we define exertion, and inside, it's not considered to be exertion. And once you cross a border, then you've exerted yourself. And we also noted, the question was asked last week, that it's interesting in English, we use heavy lifting as symbolic of exertion. So in a sense, it's an appropriate malafit to stand in for exertion. We talk about somebody getting tired, somebody sweating, it's because he's lifting something heavy. So heavy light doesn't seem to factor in. But the notion of carrying as a symbolic of exertion is not so far off. Hi.
In terms of relating three general positions, so obviously this doesn't make sense chronologically, I don't think. But are we saying that the Tosfos and the Rosh Pashas, the Ramban, have a sort of teretz for the... or Zeruah, because this is more of a question. It doesn't make sense because we're not changing it. And they're saying, no, it's a Chiddush because even though we're schlepping, or it's a Chiddush that even though changing Rishush, it's still called the
So that's a little bit what I want to kind of focus in on. I think that the teretz, or the answer to the question, ends up being different. Because let's phrase it like that. Let's say it's a dialogue. The Zeruah asked the question, where is the change here? So Tosfos, if you follow through on the answer, that once you have the psukim that tell you that this is still a malacha, so then the answer we're kind of reading into his words is that it's a change you wouldn't have thought significant, but it's a change anyway. Location is significant. And the Rashba's answer is really, you're right, there's no change. This is a fundamentally different malacha than everything else. It doesn't have a change, it's all about schlepping. And that difference is what I want to focus on today. So tell me about the following point. There is a svara that other svarim have, and I wonder how much it fits into this picture. So I'd like to get your perspective on this a little bit. For example, there is a sefer Shlom Yehuda. Shlom Yehuda was written not so long ago. There was a great Rosh Hashiva whose name was Blazer Plachinsky. He passed away not so long ago, about 10 years ago or so. Again, for those newer here, I don't expect you to remember all the names that I mentioned. It's just part of the background and love Yidav Roshem Omro, but don't have to worry about getting all the names right. But right, it's a frequently occurring name. But and you'll hear another frequently occurring name in a second. But Reb Leizer Plachinsky in Sefer Shlom Yehuda, so he asserts the following, and others say the same thing as well, which we'll discuss in a second. He says, what does it mean when we say malacha grua? What's strange about Totsah? He says, every other maisa, every other malacha on Shabbos, it's a malacha by itself. There is something that is happening that is significant. Zriya is a zriya. A harisha is a harisha. And we just need somebody to be actually doing the zriya in order to have a liability, in order that somebody's going to be chayim for this. But the Zriya is defined on its own terms. The Harisha is defined on its own terms, which is kind of similar to what we were saying in terms of defining the whole gather of the Isser Shabbos, that a malacha is by itself in its definition, but the Isser malacha is for you to do it. Now, Hotzah, he says, is the only thing, is the only malacha where it only becomes a malacha when you have a human being involved in doing it. That its definition only becomes relevant when there's a person actually moving it from place to place. Otherwise, it wouldn't have any recognition. It wouldn't have any substance at all. Hi. So makrit patish, something actually changes into a complete item.
There's no action without somebody doing it.
Right, but the action itself has an objective definition, even though in the case of makrit patish, it has a very broad definition. But it has a more conceptual definition rather than a practical definition. But it still has a definition of a change happening in the world. So that change would be relevant regardless of how it was being brought about. And you're right that it's defined differently than all the other malachas, which is a whole separate discussion. But it's just more broad in its picture. But Azriya, let's see, these are examples. So abishal is abishal, and the only reason we need a person doing it is so that somebody can get in trouble for doing it. But abishal is defined on its own terms. Now this is similar, very similar, to a statement that appears in a tshuva called the Tshuvas Eretzvi, not to be confused with the tshuva of the Sefer Eretz Hatzvi written by our own Rishul Shachter. The Tshuvas Eretzvi was written by the Kadjig Lover Rav. Kadjig Lover Rav is also a frequent participant in this year. He was a student of the Avnei Nezer, and the Avnei Nezer, the great author of the Eglei Tal and Hilchos Shabbos. So one of his students is a very creative thinker, the Kadjig Lover Rav. As I always mention, if you want to see a picture of the Kadjig Lover Rav, you just have to walk into the library here. And you don't have to open any books. Just go to 5A, get out of the elevator, his picture's on the wall. Because 5A in the library was dedicated in memory of the Kadjig Lover Rav, so a picture of him on the wall. So the Kadjig Lover Rav has a tshuva. This is in his Tshuva Eretzvi, Mechelek Aleph and Siman Ayin Hei, where he talks about Hotzah. And he also works off this premise. He says Hotzah is different than all the other malachos because the role of the human being involved is crucial. And it's not about any kind of action that's definitive by itself. So in that sense, he notes that there's some discussion why it is that the Mishnah begins, and the Perek is called Yitzios HaShabbos, even though in the rest of Masechet Shabbos and Erevin, we talk about Hamotzi. So why don't we call it the Hotzos HaShabbos? So he suggests that, and this initiative we're showing to talk about, what's the Tzias HaShabbos mean? So he suggests that the idea is that the focus of the Isser is the individual is himself walking, and he's bringing something with him. So the Malach of Hotzah is really the Tzias HaGavra, is really the fact that the individual himself is going somewhere, and he happens to be bringing stuff with him. So that's an interesting concept, is that when you are carrying, you become the malacha yourself. So the individual is more involved than the other malacha, and it's all about the yitzios. And that's the nature of the drasha, the Gemara in Erevin, at the end of the Parak in Erevin, the Daf Yud Zayin, where the drasha exists, al yetze ish min komo. And the Gemara suggests it should be read al yotzi, right? So literally it means one should not leave. And the suggestion is it should be read one should not carry something when he's leaving. So that perhaps points us in the direction of saying that the malacha is the person leaving a rishus on the condition that he's actually carrying something when he does it. Which of course also links it to the prohibition of tchumen, which is from that pasuk. Which is an interesting idea. Now, he goes on to say a couple of chidushim based on that. So he discusses, he wants to say a big chidush. He wants to say that perhaps one could argue that, let's say somebody's already carrying something, b'derech heter. For whatever reason, somebody has a heter to carry something, p'kuach nefesh, whatever it is. So then he would say that the individual is already carrying something. So the additional thing, if he's going to carry something else, maybe that would not be a malacha daraisa. Because he's already defined as a person carrying something. So the extra item, that's like riboy shiurim, the expression we have, you just add on to something that's already mutter, that's already a different category, that's not going to be significant. Yosef?
But Wouldn't that only apply if he was already in movement when he would receive the new additional item versus if he were to start walking with this new item, but there's no heter force, then he might be considered, there's no way to deny he's also carrying.
You mean if the non-heter item was first?
Right.
Right, he would agree with that, right? If you start off, you're already defined as carrying this.
Right, but if you were to stop and then start again, you have this problem. Even if you were to now, he's carrying, you gave him now an usher, like an object where there was no heter for it, but he was to begin walking now with both of them, you might have a problem.
I think if you had the heter item to begin, if all your trip is heter the whole time, then if he adds on the usher item in the middle, the svara would still apply.
But you wouldn't consider it some sort of a new walking?
But like, the new walking is also the heter because he has the, as long as he has the other item with him. I think it may be that your point might be if he does the other way around, if he starts off taking the non-heter item first, then you have...
Well, then it would be clear. Why wouldn't it be clear then?
Yeah, right. It probably would be. Hi.
This, like that, is so much about him, so why can't you say that he's holding nothing, he's carrying the heter, and then just throw something else on him as he's walking?
Right, so that's why I'm a little uncomfortable this far, because I think, what is he getting at? Is he getting at that really the burden of carrying is the malacha, you're carrying this burden. So therefore, he seems to be saying, if you're already burdened, so it doesn't matter. And basically, the issur is for you to be a burdened person, which is a chiddush. You know, but if you're already burdened, then you're burdened behater, so the extra burden doesn't mean anything. Which is definitely a creative way of seeing this. And then he goes on to be even more creative, because the whole topic of his tshuva, in general, the tshuva of the kajigal of a rav, it's a nice endeavor. He's always melamed zchus. He always wants to try to explain why is it the Jews do whatever they do? How can we justify their behavior? So he takes up the issue. He says, people have a practice that in general you should not be telling your kids to do malachit for you. That's the din. People don't always realize this. But in general, that's the rule. We're not supposed to have children doing malachit for us. But Poskim already commented on the fact that there seems to be a more makel attitude towards letting children carry things for you. Why is that? So he suggests, well, maybe the katan is already carrying things, because he's a child, he's not makid, so he's carrying things on his own. So by giving him your thing to carry also, you're not creating any new burden in that same sense. The same way a person is already carrying something behater, so maybe a child is in that same category. So that's all a bit chiddush, but my question for you is, if you accept any part of this approach, it seems to me that this makes more sense according to the Rashba. Right? That basically, if you say that the Isser is schlepping, so here the Torah is saying, in a unique sense, as far as the Malachas are concerned, here there is an Isser for you to schlep. And that's the problem. As opposed to every other Malacha where it's defined by its impact on the world, here the Isser is about you're having something to schlep. So I still wouldn't have necessarily gone to his whole chiddush. I would have thought that any more that you're schlepping is an additional issur, unless you want to say that just the idea of schlepping at all is the malacha and it's completely impervious to being increased. Okay. But does this work at all for the other approach? If you say that the malacha is changing it from one rishus to the next, so does this whole svara come in at all? Is there any unique component to the involvement of the person in the malacha, if it's all about changing it from one rishus to the next? Jonathan?
I think you would say, analogously, that just because... So the malacha, again, is on the gavra, here, because it's special over here, but it's the gavra going from rishus to rishus. So once he's already occupied with the heter object, so he's already sort of occupied himself as his gavra issue is mutter, so therefore adding anything onto him from rishus to rishus would be the same.
So you think that's what it means? That's an interesting idea. It could be. Do you think that really the malacha of Hotzah could credibly be that you're not supposed to go from Rishus to Rishus? You can't change your own Rishus. But it's only considered to be changing your Rishus if you're carrying something. If you're not carrying something, it's Mutta. It's interesting. I think it's a little harder to say. It's easier to say that if there's a problem with schlepping, the Torah doesn't want you burdening yourself. So the Torah says, don't, on Shabbos, the Torah says, don't schlep anything. And the condition is, we only consider it schlepping once it actually leaves from one place to the next. That's a condition in what's called schlepping. We have to draw the line somewhere. We can't say you can't ever move any item. So inside is not called schlepping, but outside is called schlepping. So then the role of the person factors in very significantly. But is that also true if it's about changing the location? So it's about changing your location? So you could say, so why don't we have an Isser in general to change your location? So you could say that, you know, there really is a very strong connection between Tchumen and Hotzah, that maybe they are really linked in a way that is more than we thought. So how do we, what commonalities do we find between Hotzah and Tchumen? Right, so that they both may come from the same pasuk. That's a big one, right? If there's machlokis in the Gemara whether tchumen are deraisa or not, but if tchumen are deraisa, they're from this pasuk of al yotzi ish mekomo al yetze. So if they're linked in the source, then that's one big possible connection. Right, they also both involve eruvin. That's not necessarily a linkage or not, but maybe you could say that in general the Torah doesn't want you schlepping or alternatively, doesn't want you changing rishus. But in both cases, there's significant and there's insignificant. So schlepping could be significant two ways. Either if it goes from an objective rishus to another rishus, or if you even not schlepping something, not carrying an item, but you're walking by yourself, but you're walking so far that it goes past the tchum, that's called exertion. You follow what I'm saying? You could say that walking around normally is not exertion. Maybe there's an isra of exertion in the Torah, and walking around normally does not cross that line, but it will cross that line in one of two ways. If you're carrying anything, or if you're walking even without carrying, but you're walking so far that you go outside of the tchum. So in that sense, they could both be about exertion. Both Tchumen and Hotzah. And you could also say, alternatively, that they're both about changing your Rishus. That there's two ways you could change your Rishus. Either you go so far that you're in a different Tchum, and maybe that is the same thing as the Isser Hotzah, it's just your Rishus is much broader. Or, if you're carrying something, then you become somehow defined by that object. Which is a little harder to say, but it's possible. It's interesting, and we'll talk about Shiurim. Take a question in a second. We'll talk about Shiurim a little bit more coming up. But if you ever read the Pachad Yitzchak, again to refer to a more hashgafically oriented sefer, so Rav Hupner in the Pachad Yitzchak has essays on the Mitovim, and he has a volume on Shabbos. So he talks about how Shabbos reflects truth in a way that other things don't. So he notes that there's a halach in Hotzah that we'll talk about, that even if there's a minimal shear for Hotzah, right, you have to carry something that's a significant size. So what if you're carrying a box, a big box, but the big box is there to hold something that's too small? So are you chayev for that? So you're actually not chayev for that, even though what you're carrying is big, but it's defined by its purpose, which is to carry the smaller thing. So he gives a whole schmooze about how that shows Shabbos is all about zeroing in on the real truth of things. He has a whole drush about that. But you could maybe say this as well, that maybe if you're walking by yourself, you're defined by your own rishos, and your rishos is much broader. It has to actually cross the tchum to go into a different rishos. But if you're carrying something, so then it's as if you're acting in service of whatever you're carrying, and then the rishos is defined more narrowly, and you're carrying it outside. It's you who is changing rishus, but you're defining your rishus based on the item's rishus. Don't know. Could be. Hi.
Wouldn't it be a stretch to say, or is it difficult to say, that the common theme between Tchumen and Hotzah with the exertion, only because you see that by Tchumen we create something that's really objectively your exertion, man's exertion. Carrying could be literally machat from here to here. It's like zero exertion. But yet we're going to say that that's users, and by Tchumen it really takes a real effort, objective effort, for that to happen. So it would be a little bit less, just not as smooth to see that that's the common thing we're having together.
Right, and that's what bothered the Rashba, except that, and the Rashba will say, that's the Chiddush of Hotzah. But intellectually, you're right, you would have thought differently. You would have thought that let's weigh the item before we call it exertion. So the Chiddush is apparently, if you're lifting at all, it's exertion as long as it crosses the border.
So then it's not so much Tchumen.
It is. It's saying that it might be. I mean, that we don't know for sure that it is, but you could say that Tchumen is about exerting yourself, and we'll define exertion two ways, either because you yourself walk too far, or because you're carrying something. And the Chiddush is anything. you know, but tonight that you cross a border. Right?
Tum isn't necessarily a position. You could live right at the edge. And
correct. But again, you know, that goes also to the Nasata the Barachal Shiurim, that we have to draw a line somewhere.
That's the same as
you're saying in that case it's the same, it's comparable in that sense, that you theoretically could have a case where
it's not objective.
Right. You should tell us the taxi drivers who charge you so much to go over the George Washington Bridge, and they'll charge you much less to drive 2 hours upstate or whatever it is, and they feel that it becomes much more of a job just because they go over the bridge. Hi. Same point. Okay, so that could be true. So, if we define Hotzah as one way or another, so this could shed light on a few other issues. For example, as we'll discuss, so we know that we have a concept in Hotzah called Akira and Hanacha. That in order to really be chayiv for Hotzah, you have to do two things. You have to pick it up, and you have to put it down. And if you're only doing half of that, that's a different story, and that's what our Mishnah really is kind of addressing. So how do you relate to the idea that Akira and Hotzah are the two components? Akira and Hanach are the two components. Right? We could say that, this is something that the Achronim discuss, we could say that the Isser is about carry. That's the Isser. And just we need, again, to define your connection to it. So the Akira and the Hanacha is what sets that down. No pun intended. It's what defines that. Right? That you are the one who's connected to this schlepping because you picked it up and you put it down. Maybe that's what gives it a form. It's what gives it a definite action. But if you say this about changing Rishus, it becomes much more significant. Right? Because Akira, literally, is what uproots it from its original location. And then Hanacha is what gives it its new location. So then the Hanacha is really the Malacha. Right? When you set it down in somewhere else, that's the Malacha. So how you understand the role of Akira and Hanacha here, which we'll see could have a bigger impact, and it really is one of the major issues in this whole parak, when how Akira and Hanacha play a role in what your liability is. So this could be one of the fundamental questions. What exactly is Akira and Hanacha doing? Is it just detail, but really the Malacha is the act of carry? Or is it really what defines the Isser, the fact that it moves from one place to the other place? So for example, there is a Machlokas HaRishonim that the Meiri and Daf Gimel quotes, that we have a concept, you know, where we talk about being B'shogeg or B'mezid. So, the Gemara talks about what happens if you know you're doing an Isser, you know you're doing a Malacha, but you only know for half of the time. Let's say you're in the middle of an act of a Malacha, let's say writing, and halfway through you realize that it's Asur, or you remember that you're doing something you shouldn't be doing on Shabbos. So then it's a question whether or not you're considered liable for that. And this says liable for a korban, because you're liable for a korban if you're shogeg, but if you know about it, you're not shogeg. Right? So at what point is your yediyah significant? So is this considered to be half a yediyah, because you only know in the middle of the malacha, if you remember in between the akira and the hanacha? So should you say that's comparable to any other malacha that you remember in the middle? Or the Meiri himself prefers the view that no, really the whole Isser is defined by the Hanacha. And if you remember before the Hanacha, that's the whole Malacha. Because putting it in that different Rishus, that's really what creates its Malacha status. You have to be over it also in order to be the one who's responsible for that. But the Hanacha is what defines the Malacha. Hi.
So I understand why that fits in sort of in the mindset of what we said, but the Gemara in Dav Gimel says that's where we're trying to figure out the Pater Valasar, Pater Mutter cases, that only if you did the Akira, we're still going to say it's Pater Valasar because you might come to do the Hanacha. But if you only did the Hanacha, you're that guy in the half, then that was Pater Mutter.
Right, so that's the thing. So clearly you have to have both in order to be Chayiv. But still, maybe just one is a condition for the other, but the other really defines the action. But maybe the Malacha really is. That's what the Meiri sounds like.
So the Hanacha is still really the Malacha, even though
correct.
On its own it would have
been. Right. You have to, it's the same way we said before, that the carrying might be the Malacha, and that Kira and Hanacha might both be insignificant. Just necessary conditions.
Right.
Okay. So this, it's also interesting that Tosfos' whole point, why do you need Malacha Gerua, what is indicative of a Malacha Gerua status, I told us noted the fact that we need psukim to teach us about Hotzah. Now, you could have asked the question, why do we need a pasuk at all to teach us about Hotzah? But not only do we need a pasuk, but what do we have apparently? Two psukim. Right, so what are the two psukim? We have in two different Gemaras. Right, the Gemara on Sadi Vav. All right, when Moshe Rabbeinu said, stop bringing stuff to the Mishkan. And we have the Gemara Neirivin of Al Yotze, Al Yetze. So apparently we need both, and Tosfa suggests one to teach us Hachnasa, or one to teach us the Hotzah of the Balabayas, one to teach us the Hotzah of the Ani. Right? So in our Mishnah, we have the Ani and the Balabayas, so we need a pasuk for each. A big chiddush, right? Not only do we need a pasuk to tell us Hotzah is a malacha, but what's the difference between these two people? Socioeconomic status. This is de Blasio, the two populations. So we have a divided city, so we need one pasuk for the usher, one pasuk for the ani. Is that what's telling us? What's the difference in halacha between the ani and the usher? So Rishonim have different theories as to different. What seems to be possible differences?
One's on the outside, one's on the inside.
Okay, so being on the outside and the inside, that also could be about to be two cities, you know, but that's a different rhetorical point. But the outside, okay, so since you want the item to get outside, right, that's the purpose of the Hotzah, so if one's on the inside, one's on the outside, so how does that create a difference?
It wouldn't be Hotzah if you bring it inside.
It would be, but what's the difference between these two people? You know, how are they doing different things?
Forgot it was maybe the Rashba, but if it's different actions, because if the person, the Ani, so his Hotzah, he's bringing an object to himself,
mm-hmm.
but the Baal Bayis, his Hotzah is pushing an object for away from himself. And opposite, the Hagnasa, the Ani's pushing it in, and the Baal Bayis is pulling it in. So it's different.
Right, so that's how some of the Tosfos Rosh does like that, right? Some of the Rishonim say that that's apparently two different Tzuros, that one is you're bringing it to where you are, and one is you're taking it with you to somewhere else. So how do those line up then with the different psukim? Because the Gemaras don't identify what type of Hotzahs they're talking about. It's Tosfos who tells us that one Hotzah is for the Ani, one's for the Baal Bayis. So which is which? So it seems like the Vayikali Ha'am Lahavi is talking about who? It's talking about the Baal Bayis. Well, it's talking about the Ani then, because he's bringing the things to the outside. But the Al Yetze is talking about the Balabas, that he is, well actually right, it's the other way around, as I said backwards, right, that the Ani would be the one doing the Vayikali Ha'amulahavi, and Al Yetze would be the Balabas. Alternatively, the Ramban has a different interpretation, he has a different distinction. And he says, the question is, in one case somebody is giving something, and in the other case somebody is receiving something. And therefore, the two psukim are relevant to those two different things. So, as some svarim point out, seems to be there's a machlokus here as to what are we looking at in terms of defining the different types of hotzah. Are we looking at the purpose? Or are we looking at the tzura? How exactly something changes rishus? It changes rishus through coming with somebody or going to somebody? Or do we look at the purpose, whether you're receiving or whether you're giving? So maybe that's also a little bit of an insight into how these malachos are defined. You know, sometimes you find in the Sifrei Halacha, or specifically in the Sfarim of Lamdas, you find kind of strange cases which don't really come up in real life, but they're just there to illustrate different possibilities, and who knows, maybe somebody will make an invention where this will come up. So you find really unusual situations, it's hard to imagine why they're relevant. And then who knows, someday there's an invention, the world changes, and the questions become relevant. Like when the Gemara talks about an Ohel Zarek, if you have a flying Ohel. So whoever thought in the time of the Gemara you could have a flying Ohel? So nowadays we have airplanes. So you never know when a situation is too outlandish to be relevant. So keep that in mind. As I mentioned the following suffix, Rav Asher Weiss suggests the following suffix might be relevant. Let's say you're in a Rishus HaYachid and you pick up an item. And then you knock down the walls of the Rishus HaYachid. So it's now outside. So now you are an Rosh Hashanah Rabbin. And then you put down the item. So you picked it up in Rosh Hashanah Yachid, and you put it down in Rosh Hashanah Rabbin. Is that the Malacha of Hotzah? What do you think? Right?
No, it's probably a lot. It's probably Sosa.
Well, you could be Sosa also. That's right. So the knocking down of the walls is Sosa. But in terms of the item that you picked up and you put down, is that Hotzah? You didn't move it at all. You just picked it up in the same place and put it down. Jonathan?
I mean, you could say that there's no Akira's Raglo, and therefore it wasn't really an Akira.
Okay. So one way to look at it. Let's say you jump up and down while you're doing this.
Okay.
Just to address that element.
There is no Hotza or Hafnasa in this action. Therefore, at least in the Mishnah, and Rashi, it seems like there is always some sort of either Hotza or Hafnasa, and in this case, there's none of that.
So you're saying Hotza means it has to actually move. Right, so that's probably relevant, let's say, if you take a Rashbanian view, right? That if you have to actually schlep something, probably have to bring it out, take it inside, Hotza, Hachnasa. So here, that's not actually happening. But his point is that if you want to define it as Shinei Rishus, that it used to be an inside thing, now it's an outside thing. So okay, so that did happen. It used to be inside, now it's outside. It didn't move, but it's inside, but now it's outside. So if you have an invention for when that question is going to be relevant, who knows, maybe you'll have a new technology where your house, you know, this new luxury item that you like have a convertible car, you can have a convertible house also. So if somebody converts his house on Shabbos to an open air environment, so in addition to the other malachas that will presumably be relevant, will he also be chayav for Hotzah and whatever he has in his hands at the time? Okay, so I think Yosef for the first.
It's strange because usually the Akira and Halacha have some relation to the changing of the Rishus.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like maybe that might be an imperative, versus here it doesn't, and therefore.
You mean because even though you did the Akira and the Halacha, but the Rishus changed without your.
Yeah, they're not related.
It would have been. I mean, it would have been. So that's basically. It's an interesting point. You're saying that the Akira and the Halacha have to be part of the process of the Hotzah. It's not just conditions.
Yeah.
And here, if the Hotzah would happen the same way, the item would have moved regardless of your Akira and the Halacha. So then maybe that shouldn't factor in. Could be.
I think it's similar, but even according to Tosfos, so that's saying it's about switching Rishuyos, it's about the fact that you change the object in regards to the Rishuyos. I mean, he was willing to say, the Rosh Hashanah said that even Tosfos to say that changing the Rishuyos around around an object, that would be the same thing?
Maybe. He writes at the end of that paragraph that he hasn't had a chance to look around to see what the din would be. So I think it's interesting, he's assuming that that's discussed in the Svarim, that there's a Poskim who brought up this issue, so maybe it's not so unlikely. Hi.
Both Sotim refer to people moving.
Mm-hmm.
So it would seem if we're learning out from Lake Hale or Al-Yizeh, it should be that somebody has to move from one Rishus to another in order for it to be considered.
You know, it's interesting that you mention that, because it's not necessarily connected to the two Psukim, because we're not assuming that it's a machlok because you pick one Pasuk or the other, they're both relevant. But it's actually interesting, because if you talk about the Ve'yikali Milahavi Pasuk, so there the moving is not so much the focus. The moving would be relevant, that's part of the scenario, but the focus is you're donating stuff to the Mishkan. So it's really about just the stuff getting there. But if you emphasize the Pasuk of Al-Yetzeh Al-Yotzi, then it really is more connected to moving. So it's interesting to consider if the Pesukim really maybe do impact on that, because if so, one does have more of a moving involvement than the other, maybe. Okay, so those are interesting questions. So now let's just consider the next question, the next broader question. So this whole notion of being a malacha grua. So some Rishonim have this phrase, some Rishonim don't have this phrase. What's the lasting significance? Is there a lasting significance? Is it just a havamina? You could have thought that there's something lacking, so the psukim come and tell you no? Or is there some lasting impact? Is there some difference that continues to exist in Hotzah because it's a malacha grua? Are there any nafkaminas? All right?
It could be that you can't learn out something from here to another malacha. So,
okay. So
it's so different in terms of the way they're defined that you can't say, oh, if this is true by Hotzah, it should be true by Asia.
Yeah, that's a reasonable point. What you more often find when you look around is statements in the other direction, that maybe you can't learn out Klalom of Malachos to Hotzah for that reason, that maybe there's a division from that point. But presumably we cut both ways, that if you say that there is a lasting impact, so then that might be the case. So we'll mention some examples of this question, I'll take a question in a second, but I think this all ties in, like we assume, that if we say, like Tosfos, and we understand Tosfos to be that it's a change of Rishus, so at the end of the day, it's a malacha, it's a changing of Rishus. We didn't know that that's called a malacha, but okay, now we know it's called a malacha. While if you say, like the Rashba, it's a Shlep factor, so then even after we have the Chiddush, that Shlepping is Asur on Shabbos, it's still going to be fundamentally different than any of our other, every other malacha. And maybe we wouldn't necessarily have limudim from one to the other. So, Jonathan, you wanted to comment?
So, you wanted more nafkaminas on that.
Yeah, so what else, where else do we see this discussed?
So, I think you'd say between, we have for the other malachas, we have a general pattern how to find toldos. But here, Tos is saying that only if you have the Mishnah.
Right, so I think the toldos question is very relevant. I think you're right that it connects to this. I'm going to hold off on the toldos because we'll mention that probably tomorrow, talking about hachnasa, whether hachnasa is an av or a toldo. We'll tie that into that point. But what else might come up? So one issue, for example, is Yontif. If you saw the Tosfos Arash, the Tosfos Arash talks about this, and he has pretty strong language. The Tosfos Arash, as well as Rashi and Beitza, sounds like this also. That in general, the Gemara has a discussion whether there is a concept of Hotzah on Yontif. Do we say Eruv L'Hotzah on Yontif or not? Because we know that we do carry on Yontif. We don't carry on Shabbos, but we carry on Yontif. But the question is that only because it's Ochel Nefesh situations that allow it? But if there's anything else that's not relevant to that, we don't allow it? Or do we say, no, Hotzah is simply not a Malach on Yontif? So that's a question in general to Machlokas in the Gemara. And the Tosfos Arash suggests, yeah, you know why you'd say no Erev Hotzah on Yontif? Because on Yontif, you're not allowed to do malachas. And Hotzah is not a malacha. Hotzah is a special chiddush. We have a pasuk, okay, you're not allowed to carry on Shabbos. But there's no such pasuk for Yontif. Just as an Isser in the Torah to do malacha on Yontif, and Hotzah is not a malacha. And Rashi and Beitz, if you saw in the Mar Makoma, sounds like that also. So that would be a pretty big statement. And to say that it's really a whole different concept, it's a Shabbos Isser that has the same type of punishments and the same types of consequences, but it's really not a malacha fundamental. Tosfos Rid, by the way, if you saw, also says in pretty strong terms, really not a malacha. And he talks about, I think we mentioned this last week, right? He talks about the whole derivation is different than the other malachas. So it's really not in the same category. So I think it's interesting. Here's another question I'll throw out to you, because I think the lumdus could work a little bit better than it does. There is a svara, I would have thought, maybe to say that Hotzah should be more relevant on Yontif than on other malachas. Because, in general, and this doesn't really hold up, unless maybe you say that that's the conclusion. But in general, so we've assumed this whole time that malacha on Shabbos is not really about exertion. It's about something else, about creative changes. But we have an issa malacha on Shabbos, we have an issa malacha on Yontif, and we have an issa malacha on Chol HaMoed. And all of them are different levels of severity. So it happens to be, it's a little bit of a continuum, that on Shabbos it's really not about exertion, but as we get towards Yontif, it's closer to that. Yontif, the Issa Malacha, is more about you shouldn't be occupying yourself with things that are not relevant to Simchas Yontif. But you want to drive to a Yontif party, no problem. And when it comes to Chol HaMoed, we're really more defining Malacha in terms similar to that. And Yontif is somewhere in the middle. Right, that's what the Ramban says in his commentary to Chumash. The Ramban says that on Yontif, the Isser is Malachas Avoda. That's the language of the Torah. That Shabbos is not about Malachas Avoda, it's about the abstract concept of the Malacha. But Yontif is really about working. So that's why, says the Ramban, we have a Heter Ochel Nefesh, because the Malachas that are done for the purposes of your enjoyment of Yontif is okay. It's only Malachas Avoda that's prohibited. So if that's the case, I would have thought it actually would have said that if malacha of hotzah is not about changing the world, but it's more about exertion, that would put it more in the yantif category than the other malachas. So you can give that some thought. I would have thought maybe there would have been a svara to say really the opposite, that not that this should be the one malacha that's not relevant to yantif, maybe this is the one malacha that's a little bit more relevant to yantif than all the other malachas. Okay. There are other possible nafkaminas. For example, the Tshuvas Beis Yitzchak, not to be confused with our journal over here in the yeshiva, but which you should all read and maybe write for as well. But the Tshuvas Beis Yitzchak, written by Reb Yitzchak Shmelkes, Chelek Aleph and Siman Lama Dalet, so he suggests or he considers the possibility that the exclusion that we have of Mekalkel, normally if you do a malacha in a way that's actually non-constructive or destructive, so it's generally an exemption, you're not chayy for that malacha. So the Beis Yitzchak considers that maybe we should say that hotzah is not a part of that. Because hotzah is not a malacha in the normal sense. This is an exemption of a malacha. A malacha is defined by creativity. So if it's destructive, it's not a malacha. But hotzah is not about that at all. So therefore, maybe hotzah is not subject to this rule. Sorry?
I heard in the name of the road that there was a case of someone throwing, or someone asked, someone would throw a piece of meat from one rishus to another into a dog, and the dog would eat it.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be in the kafel, because for whatever reason, they guess the meat wouldn't have the meat anymore. So
the item would be destroyed.
He said it would be Mekalkel, and therefore there would be a problem.
Where did you see that? That's interesting.
I think my friend read it in his notes or something.
That's in his notes on the...
Not sure.
No, take a look. It's interesting. Because it's interesting on a couple levels, because it actually raises another question. So one question is, okay, is there an exemption in Mekalkel? But once we're talking about Mekalkel, so what is Mekalkel? Right, so here, the Kilkel, you're saying that normally Hotzah is about changing the Rishus of something. And if you're destroying it, then that's mekalkel on some level. But if hotzah was about your schlepping, then maybe you'd say, what's the difference? What happens to the object in the end? You schlepped it from one place to the end, to the other place. It's still just as much of a malacha. I mean, the truth is, mekalkel doesn't have to mean that the malacha itself is undermined. It's an interesting question. You can ask two questions. First of all, is there mekalkel? And what would be the definition of mekalkel might also tie into some of these questions. Ritzi Pesach Frank has a tshuva. It was suggested that we were recording him before. He has a tshuva where he just very briefly talks about this whole concept of malacha gerua, and he says that somebody asked him in the beginning of the tshuva, he says that his shoel thought that maybe the asay of Shabbosom, the positive mitzvah, to rest on Shabbos, which we assume is also relevant, that if you're breaking your menucha on Shabbos, you're in violation of an asay, that maybe that doesn't include hotzah, because hotzah is a malacha gerua. He happens not to have liked that point, and he takes it another direction, but that's another suggestion that's out there. You find all these possibilities that maybe hotzah is somehow out of this picture. Another example, the Pnei Yehoshua writes that the asay, or the los asay of shvisas behema, the idea that you shouldn't have a animal do malacha for you. So that's based on the pasuk of Laman Yanuach, that you should be at rest. So says the Pnei Yehoshua, that also doesn't apply to Hotzah, because Hotzah is not within the scope of normal malachas, it's a malacha gerua. So therefore you're not going to have any added impact by having, you're not going to have any added issue by having a animal do the malacha for you. Which highlights an interesting point, because a lot of these nafkaminas that are suggested for hotzah being a malacha gerua, you could come at them from a whole different angle and get the same nafkaminas. You could say that, well, hotzah is a malacha gerua, so it's lacking somehow and all these rules don't apply to it. Or you could say that, no, it's not a malacha gerua, but it's just defined differently. And it's all based on what you're doing, not based on a creative impact. And therefore, for that reason, you could have the same nafkamina. So you could say that there's no kilkul, for example, because it's not relevant to your schlepping. Or you could say also that there's no issur to have a behema do it, because every other malacha, you're talking about the impact. So if you have the behemah do the impact, it's also somehow within the scope of the malacha. But if this malacha is defined as your schlepping, so then the behemah is doing the schlepping, you're not doing the schlepping.
I think the Yerushalmi says that the reason you can't have a animal do malacha for you is lamani noach, and there's an example of taking it past the tchum.
Right.
The question is if it's deras or derabanan over there. So tchum is also not
not about the impact.
About the impact. So if it's lamani noach and tchum, then how does that work out?
So you want to say that that shows you that the animal also should be actually a less, not just the animal should be having a positive impact, but therefore it should apply here as well. So you have to come on to the Pnei Yeshua's point that because it's a malacha grua, it's exempted, but not because of the svara. Maybe. It's an interesting, but that also, if you say it's a drabbanon, that may also indicate the difference. Okay, there are one or two other points I want to make about this, about the possible differences, so we'll leave those for tomorrow, because they're a little bit more involved, but just this, I'll just recap quickly what we said, and then we'll dive into it. Everyone following this was a little bit of an abstract topic, so some of it's a little bit up in the air, again, no pun intended, but we'll just quickly recap, but if anybody has any questions, please don't hesitate to come forward. So essentially, what we just highlighted was, considering these different perspectives about whether Hotzah is about schlepping or Hotzah is about changing Rishos from one place to the next. So we also discussed what some Achronim had pointed out, that Hotzah is the only malacha that the involvement of the person is part of the definition, not just what happens. And we discussed a little bit, is that only within the Rashba, I mean it's about schlepping, or does that also work if it's about changing Rishos from one place to the next? So we talked about that a little bit. We talked about how, in this sense, Tchumen may have a stronger connection to Hotzah than we otherwise maybe would have thought. We talked about how this affects questions of what the definition of Akira and Hanacha plays a role in. Is it just a condition, or is it part of the Isser itself? We talked about how that affects the issue of if you have Yediyah in the middle, if you're in the middle of the Malacha, you realize what's going on. Is that considered to be half a Malacha or a whole Malacha in this case? We talked about the interesting Suffolk and the unusual Suffolk of Rav Asher Weiss. What if you pick something up, knock down your walls, and then put it down? Is that considered to be a violation of Hotzah or not? We talked about the Kajglover's Chiddush, that maybe it's not so much a problem to add on extra things if you're carrying beheter, and therefore also maybe that's why people are makel to ask children to carry. And by the way, that's another point that we could also say could come out from a different direction. You could say that maybe if the whole Isser is not about what happens, but about the person being at rest, so then maybe that's like Shvisas Behema, that if there's a lesser problem with Shvisas Behema, maybe there's also a lesser problem of letting your children do malacha for you along the same lines. Maybe it could be a similar logic. But we got to this question of whether you say Hotzah Malacha Grua has any lasting impact. Do we say, okay, it seemed like it's deficient, but we have Psukim, so it's a real malacha? Or do we say, no, even after we have Psukim, it's still a deficient malacha? We thought that that also ties into these two possibilities, because Tosfos is telling us about a change, even if it's a surprising change, and the Rashba is not talking about a change at all, it's talking about schlepping. And some of the nafkaminas, we saw that the question of whether the asay of Shabbason applies, that was what the questioner of the Pesach Frank asked. We saw the Tosfos Arash and Rashi, sounds like it's not considered malach at all, and therefore maybe it shouldn't apply on Yantif, and we discussed why that might have been as far to say the opposite way, but that's a discussion in itself. And we talked about this question of Mekalkel, the Beis Yitzchak Suffolk, that maybe Mekalkel shouldn't apply to Hotzah. Shmuley's interesting point from the Rav about what Mekalkel might mean and the assumption that it does apply here, and the question also of the Pnei Yeshua about Shvisas Behema, so how all of these possibly reflect that Hotzah might be a different malacha even after we have derivations that it's Aser. And we also noted that you could come at most of these questions two different ways. You could say that these nafkaminas apply because it's not a malacha and it doesn't have the same limudim. Or maybe a lot of these nafkaminas would apply even without saying that, just because the nature of a malacha is different. And maybe a malacha that's not about changing, but it's about working, it's about what you do, maybe has different rules. And there's another example or two of that that we'll see tomorrow that really kind of draws that out. All right, maybe we'll daven. Johnson, you want to?